May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Well, I was reminded recently of a season of my life where I would read to the kids before bed. It was 7:30, everybody was ready for bed, and I would lie down on the bed with the kids and begin to read. And very frequently, I would get about 5 minutes into the story and find that I was asleep. The kids were awake. I was asleep. I don't know if you've ever had that kind of experience where you sit down and begin to focus on something only to discover how tired you really are, and your body is saying with every fiber of its being, you need to sleep. I find actually that this is a characteristic of our modern society, chronic exhaustion. I have a friend who said that one of the most common dialogues in our society is, "How are you doing?" And the answer is, "Good, tired." I don't know if you've ever had a dialogue like that with somebody, participate in it, and maybe answered in the same way. But I find that that physical exhaustion that many of us experience day to day can be a sign of a spiritual exhaustion that we experience as well. We're so exhausted spiritually that when we sit in God's presence, when we become aware of the possibility that God might be with us, that God might be active, that God might be up to something, we close our eyes and don't see it. So what I'd like to do this morning is briefly meditate on Jesus and his disciples in the Garden of Gethsemane. Jesus, of course, had just instituted the Eucharist, the Last Supper. He had predicted that his disciples would flee, they would scatter. And of course, Peter said, "I would never do something like that." And Jesus said, "I'm going to Gethsemane, and I want you to come and sit and wait." This is the night before Jesus died, and it's important to remember that Jesus was, in fact, a human. He experienced pain, he experienced suffering, and since he knew what was awaiting him the next day, he was nervous. He understood the depth of pain physically that he would experience. But he also knew that he would experience a radical sense of separation from his Father, a separation which he had never known, and a separation that none of us can really understand. And so Jesus was awaiting that moment. And Jesus invited his friends to be with him as he wrestled it out with his Father. And so the disciples sat, and Jesus grabbed Peter, James, and John and invited them to come closer, to come near. These were, after all, his closest friends, the inner circle of Jesus' disciples. Now, it strikes me as extraordinary that these disciples fell asleep while Jesus was praying, because after all, the last time Jesus had called these three to be with him, he took them on a mountain and was transfigured in all of his glory. You would think that an invitation like this to come away and to be with Jesus would excite them or fill them with curiosity or even an adrenaline rush. What's going to happen this time? But the disciples chose instead to sleep. And I wonder if beneath the physical exhaustion that the disciples were experiencing is a deep sense of fear, a deep sense of confusion, a deep sense of the profound reality of the imminent departure of their Lord, of their Master, of the man that they believed to be the Messiah. I find that so often in our lives, we sit. And if we sit for long enough, we become very aware of our own fear. And it could be the fear that someone might find us out, that someone might actually find out the depth of pain that we've experienced in our life, the reality of brokenness in our own hearts, that we might be known in such a way that we would become so vulnerable that we might be rejected by everyone around us. It could be, honestly, that we're afraid to die. That if we just keep moving, if we just keep busy, if we just keep focused on anything but what's going on in our own hearts, we won't have to face the fact that we're going to die. It could be that we're scared of the circumstances around us. We're scared and we're nervous because of broken relationships. We're scared and we're nervous and we're in pain because things in life haven't turned out how we wanted them to. And so, as it were, we close our eyes and we fall asleep. Now, we do this in different ways. Different people do this in different ways. For some, we might throw ourselves into our work, that if we just stay busy, if we just keep working, we won't have to face the facts of this reality, of our own brokenness, of our own pain, of the brokenness and the pain around us, of the fact that eventually we're going to die. Some of us may numb our senses with compulsive behaviors, whether they're behaviors of shopping too much, exercising too much, spending all of our time staring into some screen, engaging in superficial relationships, if we could just keep the focus off our hearts. Some of us adopt more destructive behaviors, addictions to alcohol, addictions to drugs, addictions to sex, inappropriate relationships, acting out of a place that we would somehow keep ourselves from dealing with the realities of our lives. And so it is that we fall asleep. But it could be, and I want us to think long and hard about this, it could be that in order to mask the pain in our lives, in order to mask the fear in our lives, that we get religious. It could be that we believe by going through the motions of liturgy, even by reading scripture, even by saying prayers, by showing up at church events, by being a faithful giver to the church, that we might hide from the reality that's lurking in our hearts. You may have heard me say before that the liturgy that we go through every Sunday has the potential and the capacity to allow us into the heart of God and the heart of God's kingdom in very unique and profound ways. But in the same way, it has the potential to shield us from God, to shield us from the living God to whom these words are intended to point. If we just say the words, we won't have to deal with the reality. But notice what happens to the disciples in the garden as they close their eyes. What do they miss? They miss Jesus in agony. They miss Jesus preparing to go to the cross on their behalf. They miss Jesus begging his Father to let him out of the painful death, the separation from the Father that he was to endure. This was going to be ultimate pain, ultimate suffering, ultimate separation. And Jesus begged his Father, if there's any other way, please let the cup pass from me. But what the disciples missed was Jesus saying, not my will, but yours be done. And what the disciples missed in this agony of Jesus was Jesus making the decision to go to the cross for the very disciples that were sleeping in the garden. In fact, he was choosing to go to the cross for the very soldiers that would mock him, the very religious leaders that would hand him over, the going to the cross for Pontius Pilate, who would betray him in such a way that would end in his death. He was even going to the cross for Judas. But the disciples missed that because they were sleeping. The risk we take in the midst of our compulsive behaviors, in the midst of our chronic exhaustion, in the midst of doing everything that we can to shield ourselves from reality, the reality within our hearts, the reality around us, the reality of what's coming, is that we miss Jesus in agony, making the choice to go to the cross so that we could be saved, that we could be healed, that we could be given life. And so this morning, I want to invite each one of us, myself included, to take the risk and open our eyes. To take the risk and open our eyes and look at Jesus in agony and hear him wrestle it out with his Father. Hear him give himself to his Father in such a way that says to each and every one of us, I love you so much, I'm going to the cross. I love you so much that I am providing a way for your sin to be forgiven, your broken places to be healed, the communities and the people around you to be reconciled, and for the fear and the sting of death to be taken away. And when we hear that, and when we know that, we have courage and we have confidence. We have boldness to keep our eyes open. We're not tempted to close our eyes anymore by compulsive behaviors, by workaholism, by numbing our senses with behaviors that are trying to keep us outside of ourselves. But rather, again, we can hear Jesus, not my will, but yours be done. We can see his agony and his pain on our behalf so that we no longer need fear of being rejected, no longer need fear of being known, and no longer need fear of death. So as we embark on this holy week, open your eyes, be vulnerable, see Jesus, and know him. Amen.